Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, Blaise Metrovelli has been appointed the new chief of MI6, the UK's secret intelligence service, becoming the first woman to lead the agency that recruits spies overseas since its foundation more than a century ago. Metrovelli is currently the UK's secret intelligence service head of technology, a role known as Q. You'll be familiar with Q after James Bond's mastermind gadgeteer, and she's previously held operational posts right across the Middle East and in Europe too. Well, to tell us more about who she is, I'm joined by Dan Lomas, Assistant Professor in International Relations at the University of Nottingham, and Sam Jones, European Security Correspondent with the Financial Times, covering intelligence and espionage, and you're both welcome to the programme. Dan, to begin with you, what can you tell us about Blaise Metrovelli? What do we know about her?
We know quite a lot about her. We know that she joined the service in 1999. We know about her private life. So we know she's a mother. She served operational tours overseas whilst pregnant. We know, as you introduced her, is that she's head of SIS's Technical and Innovation Directorate, the key branch. And we know she's also worked for SIS's sister service, the security service, so has broad understanding of how the UK intelligence community operates. And we also know that she's served a number of senior positions within SIS, and indeed she talked about this herself in an interview back in 2022 for the Financial Times, where she was using the disguised name Ada to describe her experiences.
Right, so at the time we didn't know who was giving that interview. Now we know it was Blaise, and she described herself as a bit of a geek. What else was in that interview that gives us some clues about her and who she is and how she might approach the job?
Well, she talks in the interview about her introduction to science and technology through studying, first of all, nuclear non-proliferation within the Middle East. So we know that she's not naturally involved in the geeky stuff. She's an anthropologist at university, but we know that during the early part of her career, she's gradually drawn into the science and technology world, and that's something that's been a thread that's run throughout her career. We also know, since her announcement, there's been talk about her time at university. She's athletic, she's sporty, she's involved in various clubs and societies. She is quite competitive, which helps when it comes to the kind of profile of what you're looking for within an intelligence officer kind of role. So there's a lot of detail, more about Metrovelli than probably any other previous chief that we now know.
Sam, would you agree with that we know more about her than we did about anyone else who was in this role prior to her appointment?
Probably. I think there's been a long process over the last decade or so of the chiefs of MI6, SIS, becoming more public and having far greater profile. Metrovelli's predecessor, the current chief, Richard Moore, he's the first who put the service onto Twitter, started social media kind of engagement. Before that, it was not so long ago that, the organization really, very little was known about anyone. And I'm thinking back to when John Saws was chief, and, it was even a scandal that unofficial photos of him made it into the public realm at one point. So, they're on a process of change. But I think that really speaks to a lot of the challenges about running a modern spy agency, which is that in a digital world, you do need to engage and you do need to have some kind of level of public kind of presence, whilst at the same time trying to preserve your operational security.
Yeah, that's so fascinating, particularly when you're trying to invent a persona for somebody, that they now have to have a digital footprint, Sam, that stretches back over many years.
Right. And I think as interesting as the fact that Metrovelli is the first woman to head SIS, which is clearly a sea change, is the fact that this appointment has been given to somebody with great operational experience and technical experience. So this is somebody who has really engaged with that issue of how you keep agents secret in a world where, you know, you can't just invent a persona, and if you have no digital footprint, no digital history, you're going to be found out. So that's the key challenge in the modern age. You know, think about just the amount of CCTV and facial recognition software that exists in every city, every airport in the world. How on earth do you preserve the secret identity of an agent in that kind of context? Well, someone like Blaise Metrovelli is somebody that's really been at the coalface of that challenge for the last few years. And I think it's interesting that they've chosen her as a result to be the next chief.
It's all fascinating. I just want to play you something. This is Dame Stella Rimington, who was the first female boss of the other intelligence service, MI5.
If you think about it, some of the skills you need to deal with human beings who are often in difficult and dangerous situations requires just those skills that we talk about nowadays as the female skills: warmth, empathy, the ability to encourage and bring people along, an understanding of people, and a certain degree of ruthlessness, which I think is also a female quality.
So, Dan, to bring you back in on that, I mean, a lot has been said about the fact that Metrovelli will be the first female CEO in the 116-year history of the SIS. I mean, do you think there is something in what Dame Stella Rimington is saying there, that women will bring, or this woman in particular, will bring specific skills to intelligence roles?
Yeah, there's a lot of that, and I'd broadly echo what Dame Stella has said. I just also want to make clear to listeners that, you know, women have played important roles within the UK intelligence services for the existence, going back to the early part of the 20th century, but often these roles have been in the back room as more administrative roles, and very few women have gone to the operational side of things. I'd say in terms of kind of the skill set that you're looking for within an intelligence officer function or an IO role, you're looking for a lot of the skills that Dame Stella has described there. You know, the world of intelligence is not full of chiseled men driving around the world in fast cars drinking vodka martinis, or that's the popular perception. I think in the real world, when you're looking for an intelligence officer, you are looking for someone who has the human skills, who is able to hold conversation, who is able to act normal. And, you know, the skills that Dame Stella described, particularly when it comes to women, women are often viewed as, I guess, disarming when it comes to perception of the service overseas. So, you know, one of the great successes previously was using secretaries, female secretaries, to support some of the frontline intelligence work in the 70s and 80s. And that was found to be a great success because of this perception that the chaps did intelligence work for SIS. And I think that when you're thinking about some of the success stories that Blaise talks about in her 2022 interview and the things that made her a successful intelligence officer, it comes down to many of the soft skills to do with human intelligence recruitment, the ability to just sit and talk to someone.
And Sam, she's young as well, in the context of former bosses of MI6, right?
Right, 47, so pretty young. But evidently somebody of great capability to have risen up the organisation as quickly as she did. I don't see that as a particularly unusual thing in context with, you know, the kind of challenges faced by the agency. As we discuss the kind of technological elements and the speed of change in the world that she's engaged with, probably means that it is increasingly a younger person's role just to engage with the kind of the newest stuff and the newest thinking. Mm-hmm. But she's, you know, I think it's interesting as well, just on your previous point about the sort of the role that a woman can play in the kind of agent relationship. In her interview with the FT that she gave, which was actually done by my colleague Helen Worrell back in 2022, Blaise herself said, you know, that that's definitely something she recognizes, and that in the particularly kind of psychologically fraught terrain of agent recruitment, where like all of the kind of social norms have fallen away and you're trying to convince somebody to do something very risky and very dangerous, actually inhabiting this kind of what she describes as like a third role, where it's neither clear, the sort of gender norms just don't seem to apply, and she could sort of engage with people on a much more direct and human level, was really helpful if they weren't sort of coming to it with all these sort of, you know, chauvinistic kind of predispositions or assumptions about, you know, how they should engage with a man or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And she says as well, she sort of embraced the, you know, the elements of her female identity. Like when she was pregnant, she found that really useful in a lot of her discussions with agents and recruits, because they were, you know, suddenly it was a bit of an icebreaker, but it also sort of allowed a moment of shared human connection, if you want. And I think that's fascinating.
And Sam, normally when someone is appointed to a job like this, journalists, people like you and your colleagues will go out and try and find people who knew the person who was appointed back in the day when they were in school or college or in another job. Can you do that in this instance? Do people talk about Blaise Metrovelli in her youth?
Well, as we said at the outset, more is known about Blaise than many other incumbents of the role. That said, you know, throughout her career, Blaise will have been at pains to kind of give away as little information to friends, close friends, family, and others as possible. When you work for the intelligence service, it's really, you know, I think very, very few people, even people who are really close to you, intimate with you, really know anything about what you do. I mean, it would be very typical to say that you work for the Foreign Office or you work for the Ministry of Defense. Even for people, you know, your best friends or closest friends, that would be the case. And, you know, the there are countless stories about you know, people working for the service feeling, you know, one of the challenges is having to lie to people you're really close to. I mean, they're white lies in a way, mm-hmm, but saying true. Like, you know, I had a really tough day in the office at the Foreign Office, you know, etc. Yeah. is still a challenge.
It is a very unusual and fascinating world. Thank you both very much for joining us, Dan Lomas and Sam Jones. Coming up next, we're going to be asking whether fridges, dishwashers, washing machines have a shorter lifespan than they used to. Adam McGuire will be here after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.